Who's watching the banks? The Trump administration's expected to answer that question very soon. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. President Trump has his cabinet confirmed, yet most of his key financial regulators are still holdovers from the Obama administration. But there are signs a top banking regulator will be replaced within days. From Washington, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
The man rumored to be on the way out is Thomas Curry, who runs what's known as the Comptroller of the Currency. The office oversees national banks. It's come under fire for not catching scandals at J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo. But Curry, an Obama appointee, has sought to fix oversight and to prevent a banking crisis, says analyst Karen Petru at Federal Financial Analytics.
People in the current Obama administration crop of regulators lived through the financial crisis, and they're deeply frightened of doing anything that might spark another.
She expects the Trump administration to be more pro-industry. The next big test may be oversight of new companies that marry finance with technology, say Venmo or Kickstarter. Stanford finance professor Anat Admati says you need enough supervision to prevent these, quote, fintech companies from hackers.
And that somebody can't, you know, rob those fintech banks. Cybersecurity has robbed the New York Fed from some hacking.
Often, she says, you don't know when banks get too risky until there's a panic. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
With the Fed meeting about the economy and interest rates today, don't wait around for its public assessment. You will be disappointed. To explain, let's bring in our Wednesday analyst, Susan Schmidt, Senior Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Hiya, Susan.
Good morning.
So the guardians of interest rates at the Fed are meeting today, but there's no announcement when they're done.
There isn't. People are looking at the meeting today and really don't expect any new information from it immediately. We're going to have to wait 3 weeks until we can see the minutes. And the market doesn't really expect anything to happen. The next meeting in June, June 14th, the market has a 70% probability that the Fed will raise interest rates then.
Some private sector data on the jobs market. On Friday, the government will report employment and unemployment, but today ADP, and that looked like a pretty strong number, 177,000 new jobs.
Indeed it did. Now remember, ADP is private data. The estimate for that number was 175,000. So it came in right in line. And that's about where the economy is telling you we should be at this stage. That's very healthy for this stage in the economy, where we are in late cycle growth. Remember that our unemployment number is very low.
The unemployment is very low. It could even on Friday be in the low 4% range.
That's right. And you can argue that it might be a part of how we're measuring it. It also might be a function of demographics, that people are actually coming out of the workforce given how they're aging out. But regardless, low 4% range for unemployment is a very low number.
Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings Group. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now to the chain store that came and went within 1 year. Lovesick, a clothing store for plus-size women, is closing 23 of its stores for what's being described as rebranding. Its parent company, Torrid, is still around. Chris Greenspan has more on the overall market.
Jessica Torres is a plus-size fashion blogger. She says growing up, there were so few places to get clothes in her size that sometimes she would buy from the men's section.
I would even cut t-shirts up and then make them look different because we were so tired of like the few options that we had.
So when plus-size chain Torrid launched Lovesick as its younger, more affordable sister store last year, she says the response was huge, as was the response when Lovesick announced its closure in March.
That's literally all I saw on my timeline.
It's one less place to try on clothes, says Julie Dugan, who frequents the location in West Covina, a suburb of L.A.
And so having that resource cut off for a lot of people like me who need affordable fashion is a huge disappointment.
She says one problem they had was inconsistent sizing.
When brands like Lovesick get a lot of their products from private labels, they don't have consistent sizing across the board for their brand.
And then there's the store's look. We took visual merchandiser Tony Lopez to a Lovesick store before it closed to check it out.
When you're looking at windows and you're looking at the mannequins, you want to make them all cohesive and make them all friends. They're all going out together.
For Lopez, there were too many styles at once. The festival look, dark bohemian, 90s throwback. So it kind of felt like a thrift store to him. He says Torrid is better put together, but still doesn't market to younger women. Why not?
You have to constantly reintroduce yourself to these younger consumers, and they're the most fickle.
Retail analyst Marshall Cohen says Torrid, which is 16 years old, would want to grow with its customers instead of rebranding every 5 years. He says a subsidiary is often an effort to break away from the reputation of the parent brand.
What it's really doing in most cases is just duplicating efforts and not creating growth, just displacing the sales that exist.
Torrid declined to comment on Lovesick's closing. But Jessica Torres says plenty of women in the U.S. are still looking for a place to try on clothes that are size 16 and up. In Los Angeles, I'm Chris Greenspan for Marketplace.
And European Union countries pledged to pay for a lot of things as a condition of membership. Now that Britain is leaving, the EU has been tallying up what Britain owes as part of the divorce. One number the European Union is talking about now is 100 billion euros, $109 billion. Accounts must be settled, is the quote from the EU's chief negotiator. Britain's Brexit secretary said today the UK has no intention of paying something like that. You know who could pay the whole thing and still have more than that left over? Apple of Cupertino. Looking at Apple's quarterly results release yesterday, we can now tell you Apple has $256.8 billion in cash reserves now, most of it parked overseas. That's $250 billion. Apple would have no reason to pay Britain's Brexit bill. I offer this only as a comparison. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.